Hey everybody, Shane here with the Rock Paper Podcast. This week's episode is sponsored by Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance. She works with all lines of insurance, whether it's home, auto, life, or business. Give her a call at 636-288-4672. She'll get you a quote. It's fast, easy, and painless. See what she can save you some money and make sure you're properly insured. Again, it's 288-4672. Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance.
What's going on? I'm Jordan.
And I'm Logan.
I'm Logan.
And we're Clockwork. We are on Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, Episode 12. My name is Chris Bumeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Stitcher, and iTunes. Subscribe, let us know how we're doing, leave awesome reviews, or you can just troll and just say how horrible we're doing. We don't care. But we appreciate the feedback. This week, we have some pretty talented musicians who, for not to say you guys are young, but you guys are like killing it at a pretty early age. Clockwork, Logan, two Logans, Jordan. So Logan, Jordan, Logan. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so we'll start off talking about Indiegogo, because that just kicked off, you said, kind of last night,
yeah.
Which is kind of a big thing to get, basically fund a new album, correct?
That's correct. We're four songs into our next album, and we've got a lot of music that we are so excited to just get in the hands of other people. And so we're launching this Indiegogo campaign because we want it to be as awesome as possible. So
and it's a lot of money.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's getting difficult.
Well, yeah. It looked like just, and I checked it. I think it was, man, this morning. It was like already $400.
Yeah,
it could have. It's probably up from there.
So right. We launched it last night, and immediately we had people responding to it. So that was really, really cool to see just the even late night immediate support that happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We got that going. You can, for those of you that don't follow us on Facebook or Twitter, you can find us at clockworkmusic.net, www.clockworkmusic.net. And it has just links to everything, Twitter, Facebook, Spotify, the whole works. You can find us on everything there. So check that out, and we would love any kind of support with that. But yeah.
Yeah, well, I watched the video for the Indiegogo, kind of like the, I don't know if you'd call it like a promo video for it.
Yeah.
But how long has that been? Because that's not just something where you guys just stood in front of a camera and said, hey, we're making an album if you guys don't mind supporting us. I mean, there's a lot that looks like it went into it.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you know, it's.
Well, we didn't exactly do it. Because our manager, he like had us record the, well, I guess had Jordan, he's the one that talked in it, had him record the.
I had to go
like,
and I had a.
What I was going to say, but.
Basically, we wanted to just kind of put out there what we've been doing over the last few years, why we're doing the campaign to begin with, the things we're proud of and the successes that we've had as a band, and then how it would be cool if other people got involved.
Right.
So I just had to. I'm tripping over my words. But,
oh,
yeah. I had to go and I had to speak just this speech that. We had put together, and then Jim put, I don't know, stuff together.
Because that's pretty much all we did. After that, he took over and made all this animation of all of us.
We're kind of one of those lucky bands that we don't really have to be smart. We don't have to be that much. Jimmy gives us, like, seriously, I wake up every morning to a text that says, today, you're going to put on this, you're going to wear this, you're going to be here by this time, and you're going to do this, and then I want to report back of how it went.
And like, you're doing stripes today, no plaid. You wore plaid yesterday. Put on a tie.
It's awesome. We don't really have to think for ourselves at all. It's like, Jimmy.
We're not that stupid.
Yeah, we're not that stupid. Well, I thought when I got married, maybe that would happen, but apparently I still have to think for myself, and now I have a 2-year-old son and a girl, like, going to be born any day now, and apparently there's more responsibility with that, too, and I thought maybe you just tell him what to do, and I'll do it.
But, right, right.
Yeah. He's like, he pretty much helps us with everything we don't know what to do with.
Yeah. He's a wonderful manager, advisor, my guidance counselor. He's
my life coach.
My life coach and my support buddy.
He's my rock.
He's
camp counselor,
my thunder buddy.
Well, I mean, the music business, if you don't have something, know something that kind of knows what they're doing in the sense, I mean, people can take advantage of you. And
Yeah.
I was watching, we were talking about watching, like, I was watching this Guitar Center sessions last night, and they had Goo Goo Dolls on there. And, like, they were talking about that first, like, album they made, you know, their big hit album. They made no money, and they actually owed the studio money because that's, you know, the first kind of.
Yeah.
Big contracting, you know, if you don't have somebody that kind of understands the business and knows you know, outsides and ins,
yeah,
you're going to get taken advantage of. And yeah. So I think it's got to be great to not only have somebody who knows that side, but also they can say, hey, guys, some tips, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It
doesn't hurt to, you know, throw out there.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, keep us from screwing things up.
Yeah.
So, like I said, you guys are, I mean, fairly young. I don't want to say because I'm, like, 28. So I'm not like, oh, biggest thing that drives me nuts when people are like, you're just a baby. Like, yeah. I'm like, what the, like, I don't know what age you specifically become, like, oh, you're an adult now. Like,
yeah.
I just remember at my job, they'd be like, oh, you're just a baby. Like, whatever. But, I mean, for being, is it 20, how old are you guys?
21 and 18.
Yeah, so, I mean, for the age, I mean, you guys have done South by Southwest. You've got some... I don't know if it's called not. It's licensing agreement type.
Yeah,
I mean that's you guys got some stuff going on. That's pretty Thank exciting you. For.
Yeah,
I mean, how long have you guys been officially a band?
I think we've been officially a band for about 3 years, a little over 3 years.
Yeah,
and because we started when I graduated from high school, and we played like our big show as a band. I feel like was when we played a pep assembly for the entire school. It sounds funny, but it was in front of like 1,500 kids.
So all those kids have to be there.
All the kids had to be there.
They had to listen. I didn't have a choice. Yeah. So,
and it was really awesome to see just like the response we got, because we went in thinking like, oh, you know, we'll play like maybe two songs. We ended up playing like five or six songs. Oh, all the kids rushed the stage. The teachers were just outraged. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Like so much chaos.
There was kids crowd surfing, and it was like
you guys said you were gonna dance to Men in Black. That's not what you know.
It was the end of the world to the school's eyes, like the principals and stuff. Yeah.
We didn't think they would ever let us like play at the school again.
But we were wrong.
But yeah, this
was actually
that was our freshman year, and then now our senior year. Like the last pep assembly, they had us back and played.
Just same like deal, like thing, people rushed the stage again. Yeah, it was awesome.
It was pretty cool. It was me and Logan's freshman year. We played one of the first pep assemblies, and then it was the last, very last pep assembly, last like big gathering of our school. Me and Logan and Jordan, you know, got to play again, but me and Logan were graduating, so it was like our goodbye, you know, to all of the kids that we didn't. Me and Logan weren't social through high school, so
it basically like showed them that we don't suck. We don't just like go home and sit there and don't talk to anyone.
Yeah.
It was like, actually really cool because I think back on it, and for me, I had a little bit of a different perspective because I wasn't at the school from the point that I played the pep assembly originally all the way from my freshman year through my senior year, that like they did. So I went, and when we played originally, we had like so much to prove, I felt like, in that first time we played.
Mm-hmm.
And this time that we came back, like, we kind of, I was thinking to myself, like, oh, we're going to get back into the same situation. Like, these kids don't know us. They haven't seen us before. But they all knew us, and they were all really excited. Like, they announced us, and the whole school, like, erupted. And they were just like, yes! And we were like, all right,
This is going to go awesome. Yeah. I'd probably be doing, like, St. Louis a dishonor if I didn't ask what school you guys went
to. Oh, Francis House Central.
Yeah,
House school.
We all went there. Literally,
went to Timberland, so you guys can just get the hell out of here. Just curious. That's like the main St. Louis question. Isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
right. Where'd you go?
What high school you went to?
That's literally our football field.
Yeah.
Sure.
We're recording this podcast right next to our school.
Yeah, actually. We're out in a park, and there's dogs back there, and we're also right below a wasp nest in this pavilion. So this podcast could be cut short at any moment, and you may us all escalate to.
Might get pictures from the hospital.
13-year-old girl screams here.
I've been to the danger zone.
I've been to the danger zone. I don't mind going back.
So I hear a lot. I mean, a lot of these bands are doing the Indiegogos now, and I feel some people like look at it like that. You guys are looking for, you know, like donations or whatever. It's like people are kind of misunderstand it. I think when they don't really realize this. It's not necessarily like you're looking for a handout. It's a pre-order, right?
It's a pre-order. It's ways for them to get involved in a more aggressive way so that they – because, I don't know. It's more than just buying a CD.
It's kind of like a discount sale in advance. It's like, hey, we'll give you all these cool things all at once if you do this and wait to get it for a while.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really cool way to go about it, and it definitely – is, you know, feels a lot better than just being like, hey, like, we need money. Can you guys spot us?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And I kind of think about it in, like, terms of, like, some of my favorite bands. If they put out something like this and they were asked, like, oh, like, if you do this, then your name can be in our CD forever. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I would love that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think it's just a new wave of, you know, what Internet's doing for and helping. And it's something that bands have to kind of manifest or take care of their own destiny in a sense, because there's the music business is just in such a weird kind of state right now that to go and say, well, I'm going to record an album. I mean, I almost think there's more of a sincere way when you actually have fans backing you and saying, we believe in this and believe in you guys. Like, I kind of see that better than just saying, here's a band we think people are going to like. Here's an album. Like, I like the idea of the Indiegogo and the, what are the other ones? Kickstarter and stuff like that, that, you know, are getting these people opportunity that they wouldn't otherwise, I mean, necessarily get right off the bat.
And it also, I think, kind of forces a kind of a connection between you and your audience because of the investment that they're putting in. So it's, and that you're putting in as well. It's not like we're just hoping people will go and just say, yes, you can have whatever you want. Like,
you got some cool perks too. Like, what was it? I think it was the highest one. You get like a 90-minute
free full-fledged electric show.
That's awesome.
Just we'll bring
just hire a sound guy or something and come out and play a full show
Wherever you want us to. So
that's what I like about them is that like you get different perks for mean, it's not like you're just saying, I mean, if they're lower it's $1, $2 and okay, so maybe there's not something involved, but the more you go up there's cooler benefits. I
know and you get all the stuff below it as well, so like everything like that you've
advanced CD
could get some really really cool stuff. Like, I mean, if you make a large donation we could play a show for you. On top of that you get like
you get limited edition t-shirts that only you get. You get CDs and stuff. You get your name in the stuff.
And like you said, as a fan, like, because that's one thing that people really kind of connect to is music. And like you said, to say that a band that you're really passionate about can offer like those types of things, you can kind of be a part of it and have a little like memento to say, this is, I helped out be a part of this. Like, is as a music band, like, ideal. And the, you know, people probably would love to have done that back in, you know, before all the crazy internet time.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of a lot of these bands. I've supported a couple of different Indiegogos or similar things, and one of the latest that I supported was Fivefolds. And they did a really nice you know, presentation or package and everything, all of it included. But I got a like a signed cracked drum cymbal. That's hanging on my wall now. So
that's
it's
awesome.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. Like, you know, it's a rare thing, you know, to get this, and you know, it's a neat thing to be a part of, you know, to get a nice perk like that, you know, to where something you can hold on to and and cherish and stuff. So I seen you guys had like t-shirts and exclusive shirts and like, so, and that's another thing that's, you know, you kind of wear it proudly, like, look, you know, I'm the only, there's only so many of us with a shirt, you know, so.
Exactly. And we hope so. I mean, like, we try to make all of our shirts look cool, but we have some pretty cool shirts. Well, we think, at least, you know, shirts that we'd wear lined up for for special occasions, you know.
So what's it like, you know, you guys have been, now you said, like, 3 years, kind of being in, I mean, because this is like basically a full-time job for you guys. Yeah. I mean, this is what you guys want to do. So how does that, how did you kind of manage that with high school? Because obviously going through high school, I mean, how is it you guys are able to bounce, or is it just like, you know, because some people are like, you know what, I know what I want to do and school's cool, but
it wasn't as much of like balancing it.
It was more like the decision of like, we're in a band and
this is what we want to do.
I remember I had this conversation with my counselor. It was
oh gosh, I can't wait to hear this goes.
It was so it kind of, the school earlier on, you know, once we got into like kind of our junior year, and the school still didn't know our band very well, and they didn't understand, you know, when we were missing 30 days every two quarters, you know, that's more than half the quarter. And so my counselor pulled me in one day and he's like, hey, like, if you keep missing these days, we're gonna have to pull your credits. You're not gonna be able to keep going to school. And I was like, well, I mean, I could just not go to school and make the band my full-time thing, and then all of a sudden the school's like, whoa. Maybe you can miss a couple more days. Pull a few strings.
A few strings. And then somebody in the office.
I think it'd be one thing, too, if it was just something where you guys are just kind of every once in a while playing music and missing school because you don't want to go to school. But I mean, you guys obviously prove that this is what you want to do, and you're putting the work into it.
And so it's they saw us in person too, it was a lot more. They were like, okay, you guys are a real band.
And we were just trying to be, I don't know, crazy or mm-hmm. stupid. We really like were professional about how we were going about it. We were playing yeah. songs that even they enjoyed, and it was something where it was like, listen, this could be real. Like, this is something we're really pursuing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys want to support us in this? Because yeah. you support people that are going to their careers. You're
and
getting them
and
ready
we,
for that.
We also, we try to approach it in the most respectable way, you know, like, hey, we're not trying to just miss out on school. Like, this right. is what we want to do, you know? That's what school's about, creating your future careers, and this is what we're dying to do. So, you know, like, they... Eventually, they started to really work with us, and they... I mean, they let us get away with
that,
so much.
That's really interesting. I never thought about, like, yeah, if it's something, you know, other students pursuing a different career path, that yeah. they could make yeah. exceptions to certain things. I didn't even think about that, because it's just as much a career path or career,
yeah.
career choice. I've never even... thought about that. Yeah. They probably didn't even think about it too. They're like,
oh, yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
That's actually a really good point.
So did you guys
stay in school, don't work on your career.
With that said, don't know.
Yeah.
Did you guys have to like get a tutor at all or anything like that to like
Logan Moeller actually graduated early.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm not smart by any means. I somehow lucked out and had all my credits in line
yeah.
and was able to skip a semester, but I mean there was times where it was hard because we were, I mean, there was a week where we were in the studio the entire week during finals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It always falls into something like that.
I came back just to all my teachers, like, where were you? And, like, look at all these tests you have to take today, right now. And I was like, oh, I don't know any of this.
Reminds yeah. me
of this Mighty... was an open book test, right?
Yeah. Reminds me of, like, Mighty Ducks 2 when they all had...
Mighty Ducks 2.
When they all had to, like, go to the Olympics and they had to take the school teacher with them and stuff because uh-huh. they were...
Yeah.
So you guys are like
Mighty
you
Ducks.
Guys
are like, we like the Mighty Ducks. Ducks. Have you guys ever played hockey before?
Yeah. Moeller did.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
I've held a hockey stick.
I've been to a hockey game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on top of, you know, the Indiegogo, you guys, Seamus told me he's, like, big into, like, just making YouTube videos and stuff like
yes.
that. Like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
he was talking about how you guys go into, like, Chick-fil-A's and just, like...
Chick-fil-A's. I think our greatest video achievements thus far has been when a band member is on vacation.
we'll
do our craziest stuff when the others aren't around.
We have nothing else to do.
Well, if you think about it, so the band is our full-time thing, and, like, yeah. vacation was unheard of until this year.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah.
what, I get a whole week to myself? No.
No.
No, that's not how it was. It yeah. was still, like, I mean, like, they
the
went...
The week you got was the week that you were gone.
So,
the
so
week
they,
you were
yeah.
home was not your vacation still.
Yeah. So they went out of town first, and I was like, sweet, like, I get a week off, like, no practice, like, get to just sit around for 5 days, or, you know, it's going to be awesome, and that's not how it went, you know, it was like every day I woke up to so many tasks, and then they had to get even more intricate when I went out of town.
Because, okay, he had done so many funny things up to this point where he and his dog are eating cereal together. He, like, is taking requests
one.
From other people.
My favorite one was someone requested for him to do a solo. Because, like you said, we go into Chick-fil-A's and play this, like, snippet of a song.
He went to a donut shop.
So he went to a donut shop and played it by himself.
Oh,
which
yeah,
is like
right.
a tambourine. Just, like, sounded like a tambourine.
But it was so much better than that because he introduced it. He goes, hey, guys, we're Clockwork. And, like, he, like, walks in so, like, just full of spirit,
yeah.
just like within
you,
himself.
You weren't going 50%, you were 110%.
No. And that was one of the hardest moments of my performance career.
But it was
ever.
So funny.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to walk in to actually go do it? I'd be walking back and forth, and like,
I had to work myself up. The owner of the shop was there that night, and she knew about it. We just wanted to make sure it was cool with her,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And but oh yeah, it was hard. There every time another person walked in, I was like, I can't do it.
Because the owner knew, all these people had no idea what was going on. Their lives were just about to be, like, hijacked. It was awesome.
I love that you guys got some, like, crowd reaction, too, where the people are just, like, staring
yeah.
at you, like,
oh, yeah.
blank
right,
look
yeah.
on your face.
Yeah.
But because of those videos that he did, we had to, like, do something way more intricate, because we're not as funny as he is.
No.
Like, not naturally. So we had to, like, do something very specific. So we recreated the dance scene
Dynamite.
In Napoleon Dynamite. And, like all the speech.
That was so much fun.
That was a good one, man. That was,
yeah.
That was pretty well done.
Do you get, like, a call in from your manager, like, hey, what is this? What are you guys doing here?
No,
he was
absolutely
totally
a part of it.
Yeah.
No, he and I were shooting forth back ideas, and he was like, hey, have you ever seen Napoleon Dynamite? And I was like, oh, my gosh, if you let me dance, I'm going to, this is going to be so awesome. And we've been talking about like different things that we can do, like is to kind of make fun of Logan in different ways that my brother and I can make fun of Logan Moeller. And it only can go so far because he can just walk in a place and you don't have to make fun of him. He can make fun of himself.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. It was just a really cool idea and we just ran with it. Or dance with it.
Yeah, no, that's how it goes. You know, Jimmy he's the mastermind behind a lot of our really funny videos, you know. But that's something that we strive really hard to do is make sure we keep a really good, strong internet connection with our fans. And
because otherwise, it's cool to be a band. Like, if people like your music, it's awesome. But if you don't have, like, a personality behind it, then there's nothing really...
They don't know you. They're just kind of like... Hey, come to my show.
And we try to do video a lot because, you know, that shows you as a person and how we actually are. And
videos and pictures.
We've had to do some ones that we didn't want to, and we've had some fun, like, with...
Not because it's bad, just because it's tired.
It's actually a lot harder to walk into... I mean, Chick-fil-A, like, all of a sudden that became our thing, was, like, bursting in on restaurants and playing for people, you know? And that's pretty hard because we've... definitely gone into some restaurants where there's 70 people in there and we play and it turns out really well, and then you go to other ones and it's like
trying to enjoy my chicken sandwich or something.
We've only been kicked out of one place though.
Yeah, we got kicked out of one, and it was In-N-Out
in Austin.
Oh really?
Yeah. We were at South by Southwest. We just like, oh, there's all these people here, let's play.
Yeah.
And then like we got like 10 seconds in, they kicked us out.
So, don't do that. This is a walking place for music. So let's talk about South by Southwest, because that's probably one of the biggest music
festivals. We've played,
I mean, even that's like just in music in general, like a huge thing. So what was that like going down there, and how early?
It was crazy.
How long into a band did you guys go down? Was it just recently?
This was this past March.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah. So we went down, and really amazing things happened there for us.
Especially with Facebook likes.
Yeah, we had gone around, and we had like we did with the Chick-fil-A's, and we do this little snippet of one of our songs.
We went around and
played this about 80 times over the week. And we just, like, find every group of people, because you're in a place where there's just randomly, at one time in the year, 200,000 people walking on one...
They just really want to listen to music,
too. Yeah.
So.
And so you're walking through these streets, and you're finding all these people, and we had, like, what do you guys think? Maybe, like, 7,000 flyers we'd made up hand out throughout the entire event, and we were lucky enough to have... two really great showcases while we were down there, and great venues. And then our last show that we played there was just absolutely amazing. Packed house. Everyone was so energized.
We didn't have a second of break time once we got into Austin. It was like either we're playing on the street, handing out information for our shows, or we're trying to get our gear to the show,
or we're connecting with a band, we're doing something. I think... over the course of the 5 days we were there, each night it was an awesome thing if you got 4.5 hours of sleep. And so
get home at like 3 and wake up at 6.
Yeah, because you have to get there before all the spots are gone. You don't want to have to walk 4 miles, because we carried our gear almost 2.5 miles take it to the venue.
They block everything off, so you can't really drive up. Yeah. You're like a mile away from the venue.
And not only do you have to take your gear like for a mile at least, you know, there's 10,000 people on this one street alone at one time that you're trying to like shoulder to shoulder work your way through. It's like it's like being in a crowd, like you know. It was terrible.
It is literally being in a crowd.
That's exactly what it was.
It was just like being in a crowd. But once we played the shows, it definitely paid off. The second show we played, our last show there, was definitely incredible. It was a place that probably should have only held like 90 people tops.
And it was like 350.
Yeah, it was just like shoulder to shoulder, like back to front, like just.
And they weren't even allowed to let more people in. It was cool to be able to play just a place like this at South by Southwest, where there was a line outside of our venue. We were just like, "What? This is awesome!" And we had I think the coolest thing that happened though there is we met Vance Powell, or he kind of got interested
in us.
He came and watched our show. He's the guy that we're going to be recording with just within this last part of the month, and we're doing some songs with him. Very excited about that. He's a Grammy Award winning engineer. So he's been working with Jack White.
Really cool. Not a bad resume.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we're really, really excited to be working with him. He's a genius, and we're, I don't know, I could say we're excited again, but I mean it.
So I've never been a part of a band or in the recording process, but how's all that, like, the as a producer, like, you guys go in with, like, an idea, and you kind of, like, this is kind of how we hear the song, and then, like, and then they work it, or how's that?
We usually go in, like, with a full song most of the time, and at least how we've done it, and, you know, we play it, and we kind of start to kick around a couple ideas, and sometimes, you know, it's like...
We'll send in, like, the song a couple weeks in advance to whoever we're working with, or whatever time they decide they want to work with us. We'll say, this is the song, these are the songs that we have ready for recording. Which ones are you passionate about? Which ones do you hear your, like, gears turning with?
Yeah, things you can really take it somewhere. And
if you think you can take this song somewhere, take it there. And then we'll get with them and kind of go through their ideas and decide as a group what makes sense for us, what makes sense to make sure that they're happy, make sure that we're happy. It doesn't change the song so much that it's like an entirely different song.
Has that ever happened, though? Like, you ever reworked a song?
I think the biggest one was probably Just Breathe.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know if you've heard it. You know, it's kind of like as the upbeat kind of hits and stuff. Yeah.
It's an upbeat, kind of poppy, acoustic love song. Yeah. And
originally, it was not.
Originally, it was not the poppy upbeat. It was just very pretty and melodic sounding, and we had, like, just kind of key pad strings in the background of it the whole time, and just very everyone was just singing the whole time, and there wasn't any real percussion to it. And when we got with Jason Andrews on that, he just knew exactly what to do to make the song more interesting, and it's like, oh, awesome, man.
I've been good friends with St. Louis rock band Exit 714 from high school and stuff, and like I had a copy of their, like, basement recording demos and like, they had a song called Make Me. And obviously, you know, you take for granted because it's, home recording kind of thing.
Right.
And, but, like, when they went into the studio, it, like, totally flipped that song and, like, made it, like, this, you know, it's just, like, a whole new thing. Like, you don't even recognize it at all. Like, and, you know, the lyrics are all the same still there, but the whole... arrangement of the song is completely different, and it's like, it's kind of crazy to think that, like, all that can come together, like, in a studio where you just go in and a song can be, you know, take life of its own. And so,
does anybody else hear the woodblock?
I heard that.
Some guys rocking out in the woods. Nice. So how do you guys go out when you write your music? Is it a group effort, or do you guys kind of have a...
There's no actual method.
It depends, because it's usually, like, there's a basis for the song, but I mean, it's a group effort when
we always use you. Finish. There's always a basis.
Not in that one song. You said a good point. Okay.
But, like, the finished product, how we actually, like, come up with the real sound of the song, it's always a group effort. We
Ground
just come in
zero.
With
the
we come up with, like, the idea of a song, basically, and then just perfect it from there, I guess.
Definitely. Jordan used to present, like, all the time. He would, Jordan's had, like, 30 songs at once that he'll try to present to us, you know?
And just, like, try to destroy their minds completely.
But then, like, Logan recently has been writing a lot more, too, so our band's kind of taking, like...
A supercharge.
A new turn that's, like... I mean, we always try to stretch out our sound as far as we can with staying in our own style.
So it still sounds like us.
Yeah.
We can touch all over the place.
But, like, now that Logan's writing too, it's definitely, like, it's definitely helped us get even further out of our comfort zone. But usually it's, like, I mean, it's a bassist idea, and then everybody adds their
sometimes
own parts.
Sometimes it's a guitarist idea.
That was a drummer idea.
Yeah, I got that.
So what do you guys, what are some influences? What kind of music did you guys listen to, or are you listening to now that's kind of inspired you?
Right now, you want to start, Logan Sloan?
Okay.
I listen to just a lot of, like, kind of bluesy rock, sort of like Black Keys stuff. A lot of early Black Keys and, like, well, pretty much all Black Keys, I guess. Stuff like that. That's really what I've been getting into. And, like, I don't know. Pretty much whatever.
It's
you know, like, I listen to all sorts of things. That's just my current thing. And then also, like, things like Muse and Coldplay.
The Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys.
It's like
the Beatles.
Dean Martin.
Yeah, it's like it's all over the place.
Yeah. We had a comedian, Sean O'Brien, on a couple weeks ago, and he just felt really guilty to say that he liked Coldplay. He thought he was going to get tons of flack.
Oh, oh, man. Yeah, yeah. Well, then, I used to hate to admit that I liked him, but I no shame.
Anymore. I have no shame. I love Chris Martin. I think he's awesome.
I used to like them a lot more than I do currently. I still like them, but like...
Yeah.
He's disappointed in the progression of their last album.
Yeah,
I got a weird thing, like, because I don't necessarily like I can appreciate elements of it, like what I like the music itself. I like the piano and all that.
Yeah.
And then, like, I like Chris's voice, but for whatever reason, as Coldplay,
about me, by the way,
yeah,
right. Yeah.
But as Coldplay, I don't really get into very much of it. Like, I like a couple like. Clocks and stuff. Like I like a couple tracks, but like I wouldn't say I'm a big Coldplay fan. But like hearing Chris on like other stuff, like he did that one with like Jay-Z and stuff like that. But like I know he's a great singer and like it sounds good at that. So it's like it's weird how like I can appreciate parts of it, but not necessarily as a whole. Like I don't know, it's weird. Well, but that's my story.
Hurting my feelings, man.
Sorry, guys.
You guys want to say yours, or is it just me?
No, it's just well, we've heard enough. No, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'd like to say that my biggest influence, by far, is Coldplay. After hearing all that,
I really don't think there's any other music outside of Coldplay.
I don't even think anything else exists. We all are really big into like Zeppelin. We're huge into the Beatles. Everything that you like, every Beatles song ever, we've searched for just to find more of it. And I don't know, more, I guess, of today's stuff. I guess Brand New got me into playing more of the style that we're into now, and so did Vampire Weekend, so did, I don't know, Coldplay actually did as well, got me into more kind of softer-sided stuff, and I don't know. Logan Mueller, what do you think?
Dude, this is such a hard question because I go through phases where
I know.
One week I love a band and then the next week I hate them.
Fanagram.
I don't think that's ever happened.
I never hate a band, but you know I can respect everything that everybody's ever written, with the exception of Coldplay.
With the
exception. I love everybody, but it's hard to find a genre of music that I haven't liked. It's hard to I seriously do try to. My dad is really really big into collecting vinyl, and so his thing is like he tries to listen to something new every night, you know, even if it's something that he's totally not into. Like we just listened to a I think it was
Conway
a,
Twitty.
It was a Max Roach like African drum thing going, and like I like, you know, I forced myself to sit down and listen to it, and like after, you know, like 20 or 30 minutes of it, I was like, okay, like I could actually start to listen to this more often. But I mean, right now, as right at this moment, like I'm in a pretty big, I guess I've always been in a Deftones phase.
Yep.
Black Sabbath for sure. And old blues, like blues country and anything.
Yeah, like Johnny Cash, that's one of them.
Yeah.
Lightnin' Hopkins. He's like, I found him through an artist I really like, Tom Waits. Mm-hmm. And like I just got an obsession with him out of nowhere. And there was one, you know, you probably found those bands at some point in your life where like you find it and then you fangirl so hard for a year on it. Yeah. That's he's definitely been one of those guys.
That he goes fangirl instead of fanboy.
Yeah, no, I'm fangirl.
It makes me feel even more guilty if I try and say what band I liked before then. Like, yeah, I told him fangirl. I'm like, oh, that's
right.
Sounds even worse.
And then I like everything that everybody else likes, you know. All the popular stuff I'm cool with.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were rocking some Katy Perry in that one video.
Oh, yeah. That video was against my will. I did not want to do that Katy Perry song. And it was actually really degrading to stand in those really tiny shorts in my neighborhood and have cars pass, like, that knew me. This is so weird. Yeah.
What's wrong with that young man?
Yeah.
Oh, he's in one of those bands.
Yeah.
Playing the devil's music.
No, actually,
kids go inside.
We used to practice at my house, and I have these neighbors like two doors down that I guess were they are old enough that they didn't appreciate when we were having band practice at like 4 or 5 in the afternoon on Friday nights. And I was like, come on, like, for real? So the cops came to my house like 4 separate times. And we ended up having to build a soundproof room. So we just quit practicing in my house. But those neighbors definitely drove by in the process because I see both of them shaking their heads, looking at me, you know, every day. So
Martha, yeah. I told you about that boy. We gotta move out of here.
I'm telling you, he does stuff with the devil. He's in one of them rock bands. Yeah.
So do you guys have you guys ever thought about moving towards LA, or do you want to stay in St. Louis? I know a lot of bands, you know, when they're
if we were to move, I would definitely say towards LA.
LA,
none of us are very big fans of Nashville. That's like the other option.
I think New York would kill Nashville, me. I think
but New York would drive me crazy. We personally do not.
I think New York would drive me crazy. Yeah. It'd be too busy. I don't think I could navigate New York. But I can't navigate.
Yeah, LA, I don't think I've could, never been over there. But.
I could probably live on the outskirts of Nashville, but I think I almost feel like LA would fit our scene pretty well too. I mean, that's the thing. We have a nice medium. Nashville is a cool town for us because we have that vibe. Like, there's starting to be more indie bands come out of Nashville instead of just all country. You know, you're starting to see more bands like Kings of Leon, like, you know,
Black Keys.
It'd be hard to guess that they're all from Nashville. You know what I mean? But it's I think we live close enough to some of the music capitals that right now it's not a huge deal for us, but later on, you know,
especially with the people we're working with.
I think Austin is a big city coming up. Is a big music town now too. Like,
yeah.
So
I think really the four main ones are what, like, Austin, New York, Nashville, and LA.
Yeah.
But that's what's fun about even being here in St. Louis area. Like, with the power of the internet, you can basically create yourself wherever now, you know.
Right,
I mean, people are doing it through YouTube and everything else, and like, you don't necessarily need all those, but it is nice to be more exposed in those towns and be and just be able to play a gig every night or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, you go down Nashville, you know, on Broadway or whatever, and you can just, you know, bounce from room to room playing, and there's got to, you know, you're gonna see all kinds of greats. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and I think we live in a pretty good area that, you know, anywhere we go, there's pretty good cities that we can hit. So
that's what we talked to Steve Ewing a while back, and that's what kind of about the urge, you know, touring and stuff. And he's like, you know, it's nice being here in St. Louis because if you want to, you can run to Kansas City for the weekend, or Chicago or Nashville or whatever it might be. It's nice being centrally located,
right?
And you can hit a lot of these, you know, big markets.
Absolutely.
I think it'd be one thing too if you guys weren't really experiencing some of the success you've had. I mean, because I think that sometimes why bands move to LA is because they're trying to get, you know, noticed or whatever. Where you guys seem like you've established a pretty strong, you know, staying here in St. Louis, and you guys have been all over the Midwest too. Which, I mean, like I said, is a central. I mean,
we're really trying. We haven't really branched out of touring the Midwest really because we want to just keep hitting
the same cities to try to build a fan base where we've been. So
I think that's where a lot of bands make mistakes. You know, they go all gung ho on tour, and they're like, hey, we're gonna go back and forth across the country on our first tour, you know, playing 12 dates from California to New York and then 20 dates on the way back. Like, I think it's a bad idea because what's the chances, when's the next time you're gonna go back to that city that you just played, you know what I mean? Like,
so
they're just gonna forget about you.
A circle run where you just every 6 to 8 weeks are back in the city that you were last. Just keep doing that.
And it's so much better for you. Like, I mean, it's so much easier on your body and on your band.
Yeah.
And you don't hate each other as much when you're only in the van for 2 weeks tops, you know, instead of, like, let's drive across the country and be stuck in the same car for 2 months. Like, it's hard. I feel bad.
You need
for
a bigger van.
Do you guys kind of plan out your tours, or is that something the manager does? Because I've always been curious how that, you know, how you go about setting up dates for different venues. You know,
I don't think it's specific for any band. I think everyone does it differently. We've been just put in a situation that's really great for us because we have an agency out of Nashville called the Agency Coalition that books all of our shows outside of St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
So, and they're not, I guess, against booking shows for us in St. Louis, but our manager here in town already has connections with all the venues.
Right, so there's not really any need to. You just don't know anyone outside of St. Louis, so.
They're really cool. That agency actually books for, like, Who's it? Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Sir Mix-a-Lot. I'm not kidding.
They book for a lot of really big acts. You know, it's been cool working with them because they've, you know, they have a whole tier system that we definitely had to work our way up. You know, it's been a struggle, but like, I mean, it didn't take long.
We actually initially started out in one of their like lower level, I guess, versions of themselves, and we got lucky enough to play on a showcase to open for a band that had a showcase in Nashville. And after the show, we played there. It was in front of all the people that were involved with them and the producers they had brought out, lawyers they had brought out, and we gave it everything we had. Yeah. And at the end of the night, they came up to us and they're like, "We're moving you up to the permanent level immediately. Yeah. You guys were awesome tonight." We're like, "Wow." Yes.
Move over, Sir Mix-a-Lot. Yeah.
They're definitely, it's like,
we have to make some cuts. Oh no.
They're pretty small companies, so like, I mean, it's cool, you know, we get to go to the office and see, you know,
is that like a personal connection?
Yeah, we get to
so like you're just looking at a corporate entity.
We're not just getting a big list of where we need to go, you know, like we can call Wes, our guy at the agency, and like, you know, have personal conversations.
We actually just this last time we were down there, his wife and he just had their a new baby, and we brought them a Clockwork onesie. We had that printed off.
Starting them off.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So what do you guys do in the free time? You guys, we went to go see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You guys go see that?
We haven't seen that one
Guardians
yet.
Of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
There you go.
I saw Guardians of the Galaxy. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I haven't seen that yet.
I saw that one.
Was that good? I heard that was pretty awesome.
I loved it. I thought it was amazing.
I want to see it.
It was so good. So awesome. It was much darker than the last one. There was so much just more.
Dude, that's the good stuff.
I guess action.
James Franco is not even. He's not in it, is he?
No.
Was he in the first one? He was in the first one,
but then he. Didn't he like die because that's how the first. If you haven't seen the first one, that's how, like, the,
I think we've all seen the first one.
Yeah, I think cause it's supposed to be so long after that they start to take over. I don't know.
I just remember the coolest part of the first one was when the monkey like revolted and he was like, "No," and everybody was like, "Let's say what?" Like, this monkey
made the girl laugh.
No,
dude, no, yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, Ninja Turtles is pretty good. I've heard mixed reviews, but we enjoyed it. I messaged him last night on Facebook. I'm like, dude, I keep listening to Shell Shock song. I don't even know what the heck their names are. But
you're about to get Shell Shock.
Yeah.
we got sidetracked. Free time, right?
Yeah,
free time. A lot. I mean, that's one thing that I think is maybe a little different about us is we're not like, I don't know, very social or party kids. Like, We read books and watch Netflix and play Halo and Super Mario Kart for the Nintendo 64 specifically.
Really, there's no other Mario Kart to play, to be honest.
And I don't know. We spend a lot of our time is just on music. When we're in town, it doesn't really seem like there's much time for other things because we do treat it like a full-time job. Right. So if we're... the only time we really have free time is the late hours if we're not out playing shows.
We're up until like 3 in the morning reading like, comic books.
Yeah.
I recently, that Nintendo tour stopped by Chesterfield Mall.
Yeah.
And I went down there and I didn't get to play because everything seemed like it was like little bitty kids. Like, I don't think I could have fit in the chairs that they had. Like,
yeah.
Or not break something.
That's the worst. Yeah.
But they had some, I guess it was a new version of Mario Kart coming out.
Yeah.
And like the lady that was like, you know, the host or whatever you want to call her, she was like talking on the mic to these people that are playing. They had a Mario Kart tournament going on, and she was saying all this stuff about, like, you know, Mario Kart first showed up on Nintendo 64 and all this stuff, and like was going on about it. And it was just funny hearing her talk about, like, telling these kids about Nintendo 64. And, like,
This is from the past.
Yeah, right.
This is what we have come from.
What's a rumble pack?
I know anything that doesn't have an LED screen, but...
Right, yeah.
Wires? Why did they have wires on the controllers?
This
is the most ancient of characters.
This controller has three handles. How do I hold it?
I think that's confusing for everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
I still break out the NES every now and then and play Mario. Yeah. And it's like, how is that game like that timeless? Where it's like it's just right. still fun.
Yeah. yeah.
And there's like it's the you know uh-huh. it's what eight or 16-bit or whatever they, yeah. whatever it is graphics yeah. Ooh, and yeah. it's like yeah. two buttons.
Yeah, no, it's no. like it's like yeah, Minecraft. It's like, was that
8-bit? Yeah. I think, yeah. It's just, but I mean, yeah, you know, the game never ages. It. It's just fun it's all the crazy, time. And yeah. It's like, but there's, then you got other games now that they put all this money and time in and these graphics in. It's like, and you get burned out of it in like a week.
And the
like,
yeah. And the most aggravating thing to me is that I have my original Nintendo 64, right? Yeah. I've had that thing since as long as I can remember. I got it from my sister, who is a lot older than me. And, I mean, that thing has seen hell. It's seen so much damage, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have an Xbox 360, and it just decides that it wants to break one day. It's like, yeah. hey, I'm going to do this little red ring thing, and there's nothing you can do. Yeah. So, goodbye. And this Nintendo has lasted me since, like, the day it came out.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
problems ever. You just got to punch it a couple times.
And it starts yeah, working. Right. Yes. Do a little jiggle, or I mean, right, if you have yeah. to like blow it, in it okay, right, yeah. so be it. Yeah. So be it.
Erase some of the nail polish graffiti.
Yeah.
yeah.
yeah. Well, we'll kind of wrap up here because I think we're all getting attacked by bugs and yeah. I can't really see you guys' faces anymore. So that's right. kind of weird. Hey, are you guys still there just talking? Yeah. So I want to say real quick, you guys released, was it an album, was it last year, The Out to Sea?
Yes.
Is that is that on Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff?
It is on Spotify.
You here's the thing, I'm a whore for Spotify, so that's my first go-to.
Oh, yeah, no.
You have to like kind of search through some other things, though, because yeah. there's
you have to look
clockwork.
In the album. You have to like type in Clockwork Out to Sea, yeah. and then you'll find the whole thing.
Because otherwise you'll just be listening to like dance music and stuff. Yeah. And it's kind of
is that like, I don't know if you guys are, might be a little bit before your time, but Mesh came up in, through St. Louis mm-hmm. in the 90s, and then I guess there was another Mesh, and they wanted, the label wanted to make it Mesh STL.
Yeah. yeah.
And then they became Mesh STL for a while, and then ultimately transformed into Modern Day Zero.
Yeah,
But it's like, you guys ever, because there is a couple, like you said, other couple other clockworks, yeah. do you guys... Mm-hmm.
We've had to think about it.
Yeah. There's been a couple people to talk to us about it that are like, hey, one day you may if
it may become a problem.
It may become yeah. a problem and some sort of a legal issue down the road. But right now, we don't have too much reason to worry
right,
about it.
Right now, there's only really one other big clockwork. Yeah. It's DJ Clockwork.
Yeah.
And it's actually already caused some confusion, like, because there was Lollapalooza, right?
Yep.
He was on the list for Lollapalooza, and then all these people started messaging us. And
like you guys are playing Lollapalooza?
And I was like, wait, like, we're playing Lollapalooza?
It was like, I hope so.
Hang on, God. We're supposed to play Lollapalooza? What?
We're here. What time do you guys play? I didn't make it.
Oh, jeez. Oh, not there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you just got to outlast them. Yeah. Or just take have him...
We can fight over it.
Take them out. Yeah.
We'll just have a battle.
Of them. There
we'll
are
have
three
a battle of the bands.
Is this a point system or is it to the death?
Yeah. It's like kind of always done to the death, so if we can kind of get it's convenient for me. Yeah. So the Indiegogo goes for, it's on for like another, what, 34 days?
34.
So just,
34
yeah,
days.
Just kicked in last night, so check that out and all the social media, Twitter, Facebook. Basically just look for, you said like Clockwork. It's Clockwork STL on Twitter, right?
Clockwork STL on Twitter, / Clockwork St. Louis on Facebook. And if you want to just find the easiest way to get to all of it is just go to the website, www.clockworkmusic.net.
Jordan, you know you don't need the WWE.
This is the 18th century.
You never know.
Hey, man, I'm still learning how to computer.
I read that there's still a million people that use AOL dial-up, and it's like $20 a month. So.
Oh, my God.
There's still people out there.
That's terrible. 56K.
Well, you're helping those people, I guess, Jordan.
Yeah,
I'm being considerate.
He's the guy that like will find an internet picture that's like from like 3 years ago. He's like, guys, look how funny this is. I'm
like, have you guys heard of the Doge memes?
Doge.
Memes.
See, look at her. He never got his names right.
Here, check out the keyboard cat.
Yes.
You can see this cat. Wait, just
you guys are never going to believe it. Well, it's not my cat, but it's...
That was, correct me, in Turtles...
you guys are hateful.
In Turtles, he's watching, and he's like, there's a cat playing chopsticks with chopsticks.
That's correct. So you guys got time to play a song?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I know you got to grab your equipment real quick. Yeah. So
we'll get that.
What song are you gonna play?
We're gonna play "Long Way Down." It's one of the newer ones that will be recorded. So please go and support us through the Indiegogo and hear the final finished version.
There you go. So that'll play at the end of the podcast. But thanks guys for coming on here.
Thank you for having us.
Blast talking to you, and it sounds like you guys are rocking it. So
thank you for having us.
You're rocking it. The fun because the music.
All right.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, all right. Clockwork. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
One.
Rock paper podcast, y'all.